But as I told you a while ago, we're starting a new series today, and I'm kind of excited about it. What we find out is that God is always at work within us. First, to call us to Himself, and then once we are reconciled to Him, once we have come back home, if you will, and through Jesus, He forgives us, and we are made right with Him again. We're in a relationship with Him once more. He then begins a process, the process that we call sanctification. It's a process of making us more like Jesus. And as He does, He builds us into something new. And that's what I want us to look at for these next 4 weeks together. As He builds something new within us. What does that look like? What does it feel like? And how do we experience that? Through the next few weeks, what we're talking about is really kind of based on 2 Corinthians 3:18. It says, "We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory." And we could spend some time on that, but for now, just understand that simply means that we're beginning to look like Him. We are transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is in the Spirit. And the key there that we're going to focus on for these next few weeks together is that He is in a process. We are being transformed. He is in the process of building us into a new you. We are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. Again, that process, that as we're going, the glory of Christ is increasing in us as we get more and more and more like Him. We are on a journey. Once we come to Christ, we begin a journey with Him. And that journey is this great process that we've always called sanctification. And that process begins, I believe, in our minds. And so this morning we want to talk about a new way of thinking. There we go. We want to talk about a new way of thinking. One where the process of sanctification, the process of building a new you, I think has to begin in our minds. The way we think and the way we perceive the world around us, the way we make decisions, what's important to us. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're going to start in Romans chapter 12. I want to encourage you to look with me there in Romans chapter 12. Those first two verses, especially verse number 2. We're in Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to begin reading at verse 1, but camp out at verse 2. He says, "I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." He remembers in the Old Testament when they would bring animals, basically, and kill those animals, slaughter them on the altar for God. In order to make a sacrifice, by definition, the sacrifice would die. And he says, but you're going to be different. You are to be living sacrifices, so that every day you put yourself on the altar and you are a living sacrifice, which is a spiritual service of worship. And then look at verse 2. Keeping in mind that we are living sacrifices. Now verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." He says, do not be conformed. There's a negative and a positive in this command. The negative, or the no, is do not be conformed. The positive, or the yes, is be transformed. Do not be conformed. Now, that word is a word that describes a change taking place because pressure from the outside. When you get a lump of clay and you form that clay into a bowl or a pitcher or whatever you make with clay, you are conforming to the pressure that you're putting on it. So do not be conformed to this world means do not allow the worldly system around you to make you who the world wants you to be. Don't let sinful, fallen human nature dictate who you will be. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, that's a great word, because to be transformed is not to be changed because of outside pressure. It is to be changed from a force within. To be transformed is to change from a force within. This is the Greek word metamorpho, which you could hear, we get our word metamorphosis. It's that word that describes how a tadpole becomes a frog, or how a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. That caterpillar doesn't look anything at all like that butterfly. It has been totally and completely changed in form. How? From a force within. And so he says, don't let the world conform you into the image that they want you to be, that the sinful, fallen human nature wants you to be. Instead of being conformed to by that pressure on the outside, you be transformed, changed from the inside. And how does that happen? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way we are transformed into the likeness of Christ begins by renewing our mind, changing the way we think, changing the way we perceive reality. We change our minds, if you will. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, we get a sense of why this is so vitally important. For he, as he thinks within himself, so he is. Did you know that? You are what you think. You are what you think. That which you allow your mind upon which you allow your mind to dwell, that which through the filter through which you see the world, the decisions that you make from within your own mind, all of that defines who you are. Therefore, if God is going to build a new you, he's going to start with the way you think. He's going to start by transforming your mind. Ephesians chapter 4 puts it this way, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Set aside the old way, set aside the old self. The old self is slowly decaying, if you will. It's being corrupted, not only physically as we age, but mentally, emotionally, and spiritually as well, as we are combating the natural, human, fallen nature, what he calls the lusts of deceit. And so you set aside that part of who you are, and instead you are to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So how does this happen? We want to be transformed. We want to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So how does that happen? How do I position myself so that the Holy Spirit has free rein to renew my mind? That's what we're going to look at in the next few minutes together. And the first thing that I want to suggest to you is renew your mind with Scripture. Renew your mind with Scripture. It says to renew your mind. You stop thinking of the old ways. You start thinking in new ways. You get rid of the selfish attitudes, the worldly priorities, the negativity, the complaining. All of that that brings you down and others down around you. And so if I'm going to get rid of all that negativity, I'm going to get rid of all that selfish thinking, going to get rid of all the soap opera stuff that I always get drawn into, I'm just going to rid my mind of all of that. What in the world do I fill it back up with? Another way of looking at it is this. I do not, right now at this moment, I do not want anyone in this room to think about a pink elephant floating in that corner. Don't think about it. You can't help it, can you? How many times have you said, stop thinking about that, stop thinking about that, stop? You can't. If you're telling yourself to stop thinking about the pink elephant in the corner, all you're going to think about is the pink elephant in the corner. So what do? Well, let me ask you this. How do you get air out of a glass? I got a glass tumbler. How do I get air out of that? Pour water into it. It's the easiest way, right? When I pour water into that glass, the water's going to fill it, and there's no more room for the air. Therefore, that's how we renew our minds. It's not that you only stop thinking about this and that. The way you do it is you fill your mind with Scripture, with godly things. Therefore, thereby, there's no more room for all the drama stuff that pulls us down. It works pretty well. It's pretty amazing. Matter of fact, the psalmist figured it out long before we did. How blessed, that means happy. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What does meditate? Think. Happy is the man who has figured out a way to walk away from the old life and has found delight in thinking about God's word. That man is blessed. Because of that, for the rest of our time together this morning, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures for this very reason, so that we can fill our minds with these scriptures. And I'd encourage you, on the back of your worship folder, there's a big empty space there every week where you can write message notes. And I'd encourage you to just write down the addresses of these verses as we go through the rest of our time together. Because there's going to be a lot there, and this will give you an opportunity to go back during the week and look at these things and let these verses begin the process of renewing your mind. All right? So, here's how we begin to renew our minds. Number one, renew your mind with Scripture. Number two, renew your mind with positive thoughts. You're going to fill your mind with Scripture. You're also going to fill your mind with positive thoughts. It's the same basic principle. Everyone around us today seems to be kind of negative. Have you noticed that? It's just a negative day in which we live. Matter of fact, do you remember when the national pastime used to be baseball? Wasn't that a great day? National pastime was baseball. You know what the national pastime is today? I'm pretty convinced the national pastime is getting angry. Everybody's mad about something. We think that's what shows strength. I'm mad. Instead, how about we start filling our minds with positive thoughts? Life is too short to spend it mad all the time. Life is too short to spend it upset and gossiping and looking at others in a negative way and being, That's a theological term, yeah. It's kind of a Hebrew Yiddish thing, yeah. None of us live long enough to waste our time with that negativity stuff. Fill our minds with positive thoughts so there's no more room for all of that. Look at Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what's that next word? Think. Think about such things. Paul says this is what you use your brain power on, folks. The stuff that's true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, things that are excellent and praiseworthy. Focus on that stuff. And let the rest of some of that stuff just kind of go away. The third thing that I'd suggest to you this morning, renew your mind with eternal truths. You're going to renew your mind with Scripture, with positive thoughts. Renew your mind also with eternal truths. The reason I say that is because we are locked into a material world. As long as we're here, we are bound by time. We are surrounded by material things. And because of that, it's hard for us to remember there's more to this life than what we see. It's hard for us to remember that there's more to this life than what we can define by time. And because it's hard for us to remember those things, we need to intentionally think about the eternal truths. Colossians chapter 3, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. If you have been saved, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Keep looking for them. You know, it's pretty hard to look for something if you're not thinking about it. Keep seeking the things above. That's going to focus your attention on the eternal truths, those things that last. You know, we were talking the other day about one of these days everything's going to come under fire, and the stuff that matters is going to last, and the stuff that doesn't is just going to get burned up. It's just going to go away. And we're going to be surprised at how much time and energy and money we have put onto the things that are not really going to last. And we're going to watch them all get burned up, and we're going to say, my, my, I wish I had put more time and energy and talent and money on the things that last. Renew your mind with eternal truths. Also, I'd encourage you this morning, renew your mind with spiritual realities. With spiritual realities. Instead of thinking of all of the things of this world, the material things around us, we want to begin thinking about those spiritual realities that define life. In Romans chapter 8 at verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God, meaning those believers who are trusting in Christ and are being led by the Spirit, those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6 then, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. You focus on the stuff of this life and this world, then when that's all over, so are you. When you focus on those things of Christ, you put your mind, you think about those spiritual realities that come into our existence through Christ, we become more like Him because we're thinking about the same things He's thinking about. And that's when we find life and peace. Don't overlook that last word there, because there's a whole lot of people living without it these days. And I'm not talking about just the cessation of war. I'm talking about your next door neighbor, the people you work with, maybe somebody who's sitting across the living room from you this evening. There's a lot of people who don't know peace. And I'm telling you, if all you do is focus on things of the flesh, you won't find it. When we begin to think on those things that Christ thinks about, we find the life He offers, and we find peace. Renew your mind with spiritual realities, which takes us to number 5. Renew your mind with the mind of Christ. Renew your mind with the mind of Christ. Now, this is a challenge. This is where we get into the deep things of God. Are you ready to go there? This is where we get a little bit deep. As we become like Christ, Holy Spirit at work within us, sanctifying, bringing us more and more and more like Christ. From glory to glory, the Bible says, each step along the way becomes more glorious, more and more like Jesus. While that's happening, we want to begin thinking the same way Jesus thinks. You remember, it wasn't that long ago, we all had the little wristbands and the bumper stickers, and everybody all of a sudden turned into great theologians by saying, "What would Jesus do?" You remember? What would Jesus do? That's a good question. I mean, the motives are right. The problem with that is so often we assume he would do what we want him to do, so we would dictate kind of, this is what Jesus would do. He would do the way I'd like it done, so I'm going to go do it. Instead, let me challenge you with this one. Instead of asking what would Jesus do, I want us to start thinking, what would Jesus think? How would his mind work? Because in Philippians chapter 2, we're challenged at that very point. In Philippians chapter 2 at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ. Think Jesus' thoughts. Well, how do we do that? What kind of mind must Christ have? The beautiful thing is, the rest of that verse tells you, go home and study it. That's your homework. Philippians 2 tells you the mind of Christ. Those of you who've been meeting with us on Wednesday nights, we spent a couple of weeks now on this very text. You're familiar with it. But in this text, have the mind of Christ. It goes on to say that Christ then, this is the kind of mind he had. Even though he was equal with God, he didn't see that equality something that he should hold on to forever. And so he submitted himself to God the Father. And when he did, he obeyed God the Father. So much so that he came down to earth as a man, but not just any man. He became a man who was willing to die, but not just any death. He became a man who was willing to die, even death on a cross. That's the kind of mind that we want to have. A mind of humility, of submission, of obedience. A mind that thinks of others before self. You see, when we begin to think like he thinks, we begin to take on the mind of Christ. We get a new mind, a new way of thinking. Renew your mind with the mind of Christ. Number 6, renew your mind with self-control. Renew your mind with self-control. You know, there is a common misunderstanding that you and I need to outgrow. And that is the misunderstanding that we have no control over what we feel or think. You know, we say the heart wants what it wants. Can't help it. Just feel this way. I can't help how I feel. You know what? Yes, you can. You're choosing not to. You can control your thoughts. How? When one comes in that you don't want, you move to a different one so it just doesn't have any place to hang out and it disappears. You dwell on those things that we've talked about. You dwell on those positive thoughts, those godly things, those spiritual things, those eternal truths, and the other stuff just doesn't get traction. It takes self-control. No longer do you just sit there and let thoughts come and hang out when they want to, let emotions hit you and just hang out as they feel like it. You are in control of your mind. You have the power. Let me show you why I say that. 2 Corinthians 10 at 5. In 2 Corinthians 10 at 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. All right? That's a lot of words, so hang out there just for a second. We demolish everything that argues against the truth of God. How do we do that? We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Now, Paul would not say we do that if we weren't able to. You take your thought life captive. You're the master of your thoughts, not the other way around. You control what thoughts are allowed to hang out and which ones must go. You take every thought captive and you renew your mind with self-control. And then number seven, renew your mind. I'm sorry, Kevin. I'm going to let you do these last two. Renew your mind as an act of love for God. You're renewing your mind not just so that you can learn new stuff. You're renewing your mind on purpose with a specific reason so that you can love God more completely. What I mean by that, Matthew chapter 22 at verse 37. Somebody said, Jesus, what's the two most important? What is the most important commandment? What's the most important commandment? Out of all these, what's the most important? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and help me out with all your... You love with your mind? Wait a minute, I thought love was something I just kind of accidentally fell into. It's a thing of the heart that I can't control. Wrong. Love is always your control. Love is an intentional commitment to the well-being of another. And in this case, love is a total commitment of self to an almighty God. That self means, I love you, God, with all of my heart. All of that part of me that makes me John instead of George. I love you, God, with all of my soul. That part of me that is deeper than the material. That part of me that lasts. That part of me that connects in a spiritual way. I love you with all of that I've got. And, God, I love you. Love you with my mind. That seat of reason. That maker of personality. That decision maker. That mental guide. That I love you with my mind. When's the last time you fought enough about God that He understood you loved Him? When's the last time you thought in such a way that God got the message, my child loves me? Renew your mind as an act of love for God. So, you know, it's a great concept to renew our minds in order that the Holy Spirit then can transform us. How does that work? You renew your mind with Scripture. You renew your mind with positive thoughts. Renew your mind with eternal truths. Renew your mind with spiritual realities. Renew your mind with the mind of Christ. Renew your mind with self-control. Renew your mind as an act of love for God. Father, thank you for loving us enough that you allow us the opportunity to think. You allow us the opportunity to reason. You chose not to make us robots who must obey. Instead, you gave us free will. You gave us a decision-making element of our beings so that we could choose to say yes. Because without a choice, our yes would be meaningless. We're grateful that you loved us enough to give us that opportunity. Help us to use our minds in ways that would make us more like Jesus, in ways that would bring you glory. Even now in these next few moments, help us to use our minds to decide, to choose how you'd have us to move forward from this experience this morning. What step you'd have us to take. We pray that you'd guide us as we make these decisions in Jesus' name.